Hi, and welcome to the Dewing Grain podcast. Dewing Grain are independent and local grain traders. From seed supply to harvest movement and storage contracts, they can offer you the best strategies to achieve the highest prices for your harvest. Each week on our podcast, we begin with the market report, giving you up-to-date information and analysis, followed by the farm chat, where we catch up on agricultural issues with a guest or two. So let's start with Andrew Dewing for this week's market report. And don't forget, you can always check current market prices on the homepage of our website, dewinggrain.co.uk.
Welcome to the market report. What follows are my thoughts or gut instincts on what the market is going to do. It is not an instruction to trade. Any decision to trade is yours. Market report for week commencing 29th of April 2024. A very exciting week, which is discussed in full by Ian, Ben and myself, because it was tender week and we like to dwell on these things and pick holes and make stuff up. You know how it is. We should be a tabloid newspaper, really, some of the gossip we come out with. But yeah, a little bit of a chat about it, and it kind of dissects where the market is. So I'm not going to run on today about market conditions because we kind of cover it in what we discuss. So with that, prices, with the volatile market we've had, a very firm market, lots of people coming in, certainly the new crop being the leader and old crop being dragged along with it. And the difference between the old and the new crop prices is pulling apart, and it's getting quite interesting, as I say, if you're into that sort of thing, which some of you are. So, old crop feed wheat is worth 170 for May, because everyone's stuffed with May, and that's what it's worth if you absolutely have to move it. June would pay 174. These are East Anglian prices to East Anglian homes, not the Outer Hebrides and consequent rejection charges. And July would be 182, which is £8 more than the June, if you haven't spotted it. If you carried on with wheat, and I'll do it slightly differently this week, August 184, harvest movement, as and when you cut it sort of thing. September 190. October 192, November 194, and May 25, that is, 204. So, really good prices. I mean, you know, some of our store members have been able to achieve, obviously, £200 plus X for November onwards because there is a premium for future stores. Come the autumn, there have been some very, very aggressive X farm prices, which we can't get anywhere near. I don't mind admitting it. But, as I say, our stuff will be going to local consumer homes, and the homes that we go to are not reflecting the ex-farm bids that are out there. Now, either the firms feel very bullish to this market, or they're planning on taking it to the Outer Hebrides, which is fine, as long as everybody knows that when they sell it. So, swiftly, moving on, I saw a thing on the TV about milling wheat today, about how the price of bread's gone up 21.9%. Found myself screaming at the TV that it wasn't the price of wheat that had actually affected that increase in price. It was probably Tesco's £2 billion profits or whatever it was. You know, the excess money's made from opportunity. And yes, they have to import wheat, but let's face it, 17,000 loaves from a ton of wheat means that one pence per ton is worth £170 a ton. So you haven't seen £170 a ton increase in your wheat price in the UK, that's a certainty. So to infer that it's all down to the price of wheat and the poor harvest is a little stretching, let's say. As usual, BBC lazy journalists, let's not give the supermarkets or distribution people a hard time, eh? And this is where the farming unions should be stronger with some sort of presence on TV going, this is just misleading, but hey, who gives a damn about you lot? Anyway, so moving swiftly on from milling wheat and all of the terrible miseries from Miller onwards and how their profits have been ramped up on the back of these terrible times, then, you know, good for them, he said with envy. So, feed barley, let's go on to that one. That's nice and dull. X-Farm, old crop, 150. It's kind of, there are a few boats about at the moment. A few people have been short. That seems to be coming to an end. Imports are cheaper. If you were to hold it into new crop, you'd make another tenner on top of that. So harvest barley, roughly about 160x. That's not immediate movement. That's going to go to a port. And their harvest movement isn't exactly the next day. It's kind of like stretched a bit. Let's call it harvest movement. In fact, move it a month and a half later. But it's still 160 instead of 150. So if you've got decent storage, that's a good thing. If you can hold it to November, 173x. That's good, isn't it? What else? Malting barley. A conservative value for winter malting barley, 200x for winters, 210 for springs. That's a firm market. That's a market that's nervous. That's a market that's got trouble. Yes, there's lots of people planting spring barley at this moment and in the last week, but they're planting it 23rd, 24th of April, which is late. And if you're in the south of England, you haven't got the full sort of daylight hours. So that's an issue that I think is not going to be weak for the time being. The maltster, who's been in control, isn't quite so in control at the moment, although they're acting very cash about it all and they don't really care. But, you know, you can see the whites of their eyes a little bit. Oilseed rape is 355 for old crop, or for harvest movement, it is 360. So there you go. What else is there to say, chaps? I think that's enough on the market. We discussed that, as I say, in a short while. So for us, it's been a very interesting week. There's been a lot of farm trade. The prices have ramped up a great deal. If you compare last week's prices with these ones, that's fairly obvious. We are in the mode of friendly to new crop at the moment. I think you have to say that there are weather fears with the things we discuss in a minute. So yeah, we're underlyingly not seeing that one dropping like a stone. Old crop wheat, much more complex. I don't like the look of that one. There's too much wheat. And not everybody who's saying they can hold it can. That will sort itself out. But there's also some tender issues, again, we'll be discussing shortly. So I think I'll just move on to say that tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the day of the release, which is the 29th of April, we have the Doing Grain podcast walk, where the lonely fellow has definitely got the farm manager of Honingham Farms walking with him, because he's going to guide us around the walk. Quite interesting time of year to go round, I would suggest. If it's going to rain, it looks like it's going to be warmer rain than this week, which is a bit of a bonus, isn't it? If it isn't going to rain, it'll be warmer. How about that? 13 degrees instead of 4. And hopefully not a northerly, because they are really freezing in Norfolk if it comes from up there. So the what three words? Smallest dumpling damage, which I've said before, 2 p.m, 30th of April at Honingham. So with that, have a fantastic week. I do hope it stops raining soon, with the caveat of as long as it rains 2 weeks later, just to make sure everything keeps coming along nicely like it is in Norfolk. Cheers. Thank you for listening. Please remember that any decision to trade on this opinion is yours.
Attention all farmers and consumers. It's time to chuck on the wellies and join us for our podcast walk around our beautiful Norfolk countryside. Our walks are a great way to network, share insights, and just have a good old yarn. As an added bonus, there is normally a nice pub at the end with the opportunity for a beer or coffee. To stay up to date with our upcoming walks, head over to our Instagram page or check the news section on our website so that you don't miss out. Now, let's head back to the farm chat.
Today, I've got with me Ben, and I should have Webby in here, but he's taken 10 minutes combing his hair or something. What's he doing?
Hello. Yeah, no, I don't know what it is with Webby. Say to him, Webby, come and do this now, and he'll just look at you. He's just standing there now, like a lemon.
Is he a bit diva-like? I'm not coming
it's
on
not,
unless...
It's not diva-like, it's just this general temperament of...
I'll be there in a minute, the battery runs down. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do an in-depth analysis of the tender, because that's exciting to us, isn't it?
Well, it was an exciting tender. I think, you know, it came out on Tuesday and it shocked all of us, the size of it, actually. I think, would you agree?
Yeah, totally. I think that the biggest and most pleasant surprise was the Frontier tonnage. Oh, Webby's here. Hello, Ian.
Oh. Hello, Webby.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. We're on the tender debate, precisely that.
Yeah,
so we're just saying the size of it, but the reality of that every company that was involved, you know, we had the biggest, the big Frontier guys, came in with a pretty hefty tender.
That was a shock. Quite exciting, actually. It kind of,
To me, it's reassuring, because there is, I think, a problem with the volume of old crop wheat that's available.
I must admit, I thought it was going to be a 50 to 60,000 ton tender. I know the open interest was massive and it was 2,000 lots plus, wasn't it, in the run-in. I thought there'd be something that would knock it back a bit. But yeah, for 851 lots, first tender day.
851. And then there's as many open lots still out there to come, which I think will come.
I think the gutting point was today, I thought it was going to be really interesting, because I thought we'd see all the retenders, all the unwanted stores come back on. But we haven't.
Well,
So
the debate is therefore, which is the most unattractive place to own wheat in the country?
Let's say Aylsham.
No. There's some down much more windy roads than that.
Come to us last, boys. I would say, well, it's got to be Kent. It's got to be, looking through the list, Southampton, Atwood Store.
Southampton and Kent, yeah.
Shoreham Store. Harwich isn't great, well, is it? Wingham? Wingham's not a great store either.
Well, the Waveney one over at Ella.
That's near us. That's on
yeah, no, that's as far east as you can get in the UK, but it isn't as bad as owning Southampton if you're going to try and take it north, is the point. No. One can only assume that the stuff at Shoreham and the stuff at Southampton isn't going to have anyone helping it get onto a boat.
Oh, no,
not that that
no,
necessarily
no
works.
Market, no.
So it's got to be lorried up. And to me, the value of the May futures now becomes the value of the worst possible place.
Yeah.
And which it, so that has to be, yeah, on this occasion, Southampton.
Yeah.
I guess, or Shoreham, if you can't ship it. And there's no way shipping, I don't know, is working, clearly.
What would freight be to go up north?
I don't know.
Like
don't know, have we? We don't know. We're out of touch.
15 quid?
Yeah. Yeah, let's call it 15 quid. It's probably more than
then
that.
Then you've got to discharge, and then you've got to take out portside facilities and all that. Yeah, I suppose it's not.
Yeah, and people, you know, yeah, nicking a bit of stock, stuff like that. Which is, yeah, no, isn't it? Spilt over the side, mate.
Yeah, you can't say that.
I don't know where it's going, do I? So I can't, yeah, not being specific, yeah, in just going back to my youth and delivering milling wheat to Leith, and there seemed to be a lot less on a poly bulk than was loaded. Just, you know, Scottish families needed wheat to grind up,
oh,
I guess.
God.
Anyway, that's a long time ago. So, what is the lowest value that wheat is now worth? So, if it's trading a £23 premium into Ensus,
yeah,
on Teesside, the haulage rate from Shoreham has got to be 30
would be my guess. Yeah,
pounds at least.
People are commenting that there are backloads out there, that you've got some cheaper rates going, but it's a bloody long way. That's a long way. But even if you took that market up to, I mean, let's say the nearest consumption point, let's say Ruffham,
yeah,
for example, I would say that's got to be 20 quid haul up to Ruffham.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be it.
15 quid?
Yeah. But the point being that that isn't trading anywhere near that sort of premium. Either way, it's going to be a loss, isn't it? And with that in mind, it's like, as we wait for the next tenders to come through, or the re-tender to come through, it's got to be the ugly stores that come back on for the people who've got,
yeah,
a short
position. Yeah, yeah.
And then it's a case of, when will that stuff move? Now, we've all got heavy May book,
mm-hmm,
X Farm, which has got to be moved.
Yeah.
And there are people now selling us grain for May and June at a fairly hefty discount, as discussed last week.
Yeah. I think the trade generally had quite a prolific sort of 2 days. There's a 48-hour spell of this rally that must have sucked tonnage off farm. Well, not off farm, but, you know, book tonnage.
Yeah, well, it did, didn't it? Because we spoke to enough people up and down, enough other traders up and down the country who said, and I had a WhatsApp from one such friend,
mm-hmm,
don't have many of those, who said, yeah, look, you know, during that rally, we hoovered up grain.
Which means that the deliveries to Ensus, the deliveries to, I don't know,
Vivergo.
Yeah, all of that lot. Yeah. Sentinel.
Sedicol.
Sorry. Is going to come from local grain. If it's been traded in, you know, Lincolnshire, Yorkshire, one assumes that lot have acted on a market that's rallied this much.
Yeah, and we assume.
And if you do a deal for April or for May movement, it is going to have to be moved, whereas the futures doesn't have to be moved, just keep paying the rent. So my point is, if you have an ounce of experience, if you're working on a haulage rate in April and May, where there is not very much grain moving, and assume that you'll be picking it up in late June, you'll be paying the same price, probably. But when you get to July, it turns into harvest, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, lorries aren't so available, and the haulage rates go up dramatically. So if you're going to buy stuff spot cheaper and assume you're going to get the haulage rate for the same in July, you're wrong.
Although, we are looking at a smaller harvest.
So whoever's cutting something is going to be moving it. There's more grain physically to move in July because harvest starts.
And important to mention is farmers still very much want to sell fresh tonnage now in either May or June. When you bid someone a July price, they're like, oh, good price, but not really that keen.
There is a surplus, isn't there?
Yeah.
This year, there is a surplus. The premium for new crop is touching towards £30 a tonne. So clearly, problem next year opposite to the problem of this year. And somehow, one's got to fit into the other. That's what the big carry's all about. For us, we can't, the stores that need to be emptied can't do anything about it. Mm. The stores that don't need to be emptied, we're clearly going to make more money carrying that,
yeah,
than trading it. Because we also can't touch the new crop prices at the moment. Some of the guys out there, because it's a short supply are paying a crazy price for ex-farm new crop price for wheat, aren't they?
Do you see the, it's dangerous talking about this on the podcast, but as a prediction, do you see the carry going past 30 quid?
I think in the extreme moments, yes, I do. I think the real car crash comes in July when there isn't an open position of any note. And
very few bids on the pitch as well.
Well, all of a sudden, if you can't get the haulage up there as cheap as you are now, the premium, will it have necessarily gone out that much, bearing in mind farmers are unloading that bit that they've been hanging on to? I think there'll be a load of people saying, right, let's just get ditched that. Yeah. Do you want to buy that back? Do you want to buy it back? No. Penalty rents are, you know, a couple of quid per day or whatever it's going to be. We're always quite fair on that, but one or two stores this year, last year people held it and it put us in a bit of a muddle. So I think most stores will be more aggressive than we
are. It's slightly deja vu of last year, wasn't it? I mean, same situation was, you know, we were faced with.
Yeah.
It's a messy end to clear stores last year.
Yeah, I mean, we needed to empty our stores to quantify this, but, you know, every now and again you do have to empty your shed, don't you?
But my point being, there was lots of people in a muddle to get wheat out of the store and they couldn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think if you look to 12 months on, even allowing for all these imports and all the corn swaps and all that stuff, I think at the end of next season, most stores will be completely empty. So you can look forward to cleaning your shed out completely and starting again. It's just this year, mathematically, the best thing by a country mile is to carry it if you possibly can. But again, we come back to my point about May futures. May futures seem to be dragging along with the premium that's trading at the moment, you know, the spread, at 27, 26 quid. And so people are quite happily still buying the May with that in mind to cover, you know, that. But once those shorts are out, they don't control the store, they don't own the store, they don't know what store they're buying back. It won't be us. If we went in to buy May futures, we won't end up with Aylsham. We'll end up with Southampton. And we don't want that, same as everybody else doesn't want it. But at some point, when it's all filtered through and all of the retenders keep coming back as Southampton, it's like, okay, that's what's it worth? And if it's £30 haulage, it's got to be a bigger discount. It's got to, Entsys needs to be a £30 premium to futures, if you like.
And the, I mean, the May currently, I appreciate we're through the first tender day. The volume's obviously going to get thin on the bid or the offside, but it looks like literally the only volume on the bid is off a spread.
Yeah.
And there was only like one or two lots yesterday. It was so, so thin.
And that must be the people who've still got the open position of thinking, do you know what, I can carry it. But that must be compromising their stores, mustn't it?
Yeah. You do say you can carry it, the ones that have control of the store.
Let's take an example of a Harwich. That's not very pretty either, is it? Goodness knows what's in that shed. Anyway. Wheat, of course, Andrew. Wheat. 72 kilo wheat. 14% moisture. Anyway, that stuff is, you know, can they carry it into a new year? If I was them, I would go, right, now here it is all tendered. And if I was insisting or intending to carry it into next year, I would have tendered it all and shut my eyes going, I'm pretty sure there'll be a big lump of that in July in my shed and I'll get a chance to buy it back. And that's when I think the equivalent of a £30 carry from May will occur. Because if you can do a £28 carry in July, that's £5 better than doing it in May, because there's rent and there's finance.
Yeah, and of course, the later you buy it back, the more rent you've secured yourself anyway.
Yeah, rent to the end of July would be, you know, another £1.50 for July in its entirety. Yeah, absolutely. I think July's going to be very irritating for people who are long of futures, because the only option for people who've got stores they've got to empty is horrendous penalty rents, because we really, you know, I'm apologising in advance if any of you get caught, we're giving you enough warning, definitely have a plan to move some of these, speak to us, you know, there's some stores we can probably work on, but four of them definitely we can't, and it's got to go, and the penalty rents have got to deter you from even thinking about it. And I can't be alone on that. I'm quite certain every other storekeeper is thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
Because another reason is bugs are very prevalent this year. You know, we've not had any from any of our wheat futures stores, I'll add, touch wood. But there's a lot of bugs around now. There really are some issues out there. And if you carry one year into the next and you put some new crop on top of it, you almost guarantee you're going to have bugs at some point. It's an occupational hazard. So you've got a gas charging bill at some point in the season and a difficulty in storing.
Just coming back to the spread thing that Webby was talking about, because the other interesting thing yesterday, or sorry, it would have, which would have been Wednesday, was that the May futures didn't trade till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They just sat there.
Yes, someone paid up in the end, which was a spread trade, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, some of it was spread. Only 9 lots was the spread, then 34 traded. So that was interesting.
Well, someone interpreted that as, I always look at the worst place, as I said before, I look at the worst valued store as being the value of May wheat, because the better value stores, East Anglian stores, are more attractive than Kent stores. Back to the original statement, which means it's a haulage rate between there and the premium home up north. I think the May is under more pressure, unfortunately, for the old crop, you know, stamp collecting, boring people that we are, just observing this market and running on about it, is the timing of the rally on new crop has kind of confused issues.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, definitely. I did get bantered this morning by someone who actually has picked up some of the tenders, and he bantered me by saying, I thought you boys were talking about a short squeeze on the tender, which hasn't.
No, the market went up, so technically we're right, aren't we?
Yeah.
Short squeeze means the market goes up.
Talk about that, actually getting bantered. So on Tuesday, I had to go and collect the girls. And I decided to leave a minute and a half early on Tuesday night, which is unusual because I always give people jip for not seeing the market close. So Ben has held back from giving me too much of a hard time. But anyway, in that minute and a half, the May futures went from 76 up to 80, I think 83 they traded at, didn't they?
Yeah, on about 2 lots.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, someone enjoys the nudge at the end.
A little flash.
You have to query, I mean, last night's close, also near the end of the day, pushed the market up. And, you know, I couldn't see, if you're paying 181 for May wheat, just to forget the new crop, 181 for May wheat, against a delivered market of 198 into Teesside isn't going to make money, is it?
No.
And those consumers aren't going to pay more money just because the futures have a little flip up. No. I mean, it's all in the timing. But
what do you think about new crop then? So new crop, I think, has been quite exciting. It's certainly...
Well, that's been really the story, isn't it? This, in our opinion, is predominantly about the Russian heat and conditions just in their key region, just the other side of the Black Sea.
Yeah.
And if you don't need a major company to tell you how to look at that, go on one of the weather sites, look at the weather map, look at the temperature.
Windy's a great one. That's one of my favourites. Windy.
W-I-N-D-Y. If you go on there, it'll show you temperature, precipitation, such like, into the future. But that one is a good model for keeping an eye on what is the problem area and the crop size in Russia shrinking.
Yeah, and coupled with that, I would also say the flooding in China has been off the scale. But for the last 2 weeks, you've had the Chinese Agricultural Ministry saying we're pushing crop production to an all-time high and we're going for it. But where you see where the flooding was, and I saw some photos, there are fields completely washed out, gone.
I think we can safely say, back in podcast history, we've got nearly 6 years of it, we have on a number of controversial occasions suggested that whenever the Chinese say we've got a bumper crop, they have a smaller crop. And whenever they have a smaller crop, they have a bumper crop.
Mm.
And I think possibly they might be fibbing.
I mean, I've got to be a bit careful because my solar panel batteries are Chinese. They'll probably hack them and turn them off. Turn my power off.
They can probably electrocute you on your toilet seat somewhere or another.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've been watching what you're looking at on the
internet. They've been listening to the podcast.
On the podcast. They know who you are. And but, yeah, so the point is that, yeah, okay, if China, biggest producer of wheat in the world, has an issue, that is going to be felt.
And on top of that, India, another enormous producer of wheat, they are looking at importing more. There are issues in India.
Importing, because last year they exported, didn't they?
Yeah, but they have said that they might need to...
Import.
Well, they did import from Russia. They did get some from Russia, wheat, India.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, pay us for these missiles, wasn't it? I don't know. They've been trading missiles. And the Indian, interestingly, the Indian military is based on Russian machinery.
Okay.
Not saying which side of the line they're going to choose to go, but I would suggest that probably means they've made their statement. I'm going with the Chinese and Russians because I think they're going to win type attitude. But anyway, that's another story.
But new crop, yes, there are a lot of stories kicking around on new crop. I mean, underlyingly, the sentiment is bullish for later in the year.
I mean, what's happening in the States while we're on the international scene?
Well, I think if you want to be charty-farty, it's completely smashed out of all the downtrends in 4 very quick sessions. And it, you know, it spells the funds have been spooked. It's fear. It's trading on fear, isn't it?
Charty farty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Farty charty.
Is that a technical phrase?
It is.
So anyone who's used charts is charty farty.
I know we do take the piss out of them, but you
no,
can...
No, no, no. I
would like some praise for this one. I actually spotted a pennant on the Matif Wheat chart, didn't I? It's been there all the way before it.
Well, yeah, whether you did, and but when you were looking at it, I said, oh, that's a pennant.
Yeah, and then someone's saying, oh, is that a bearish one? I was like, no, pennants are bullish. That is a bullish one. It's going to go. If it breaks, it's going to go. And
so
it went.
What is a pennant for the people?
It's like a flag. You've got the flagpole, and then you've got the...
A flagpole is the market zooming up in the direction.
It goes up, and then you've got a consolidation of it drifting lower.
So it looks a bit like a flag from a golf
course.
Exactly,
exactly. And then when it breaks the line of resistance, bang, it then just has a big move, and it's done it perfectly.
Okay, well done.
Perfectly.
You confirmed it, or you spotted
it? I put it on our socials just to confirm it. It's on our screen.
So who actually spotted it? You spotted it.
I spotted it.
And he confirmed it. Or you'd said it was a pennant, and then you said it was a pennant.
But the important thing is I got it well before the event. I got it like halfway through the flag forming. So
do we give 10 points to Gryffindor or to Slytherin?
Not asking for too much praise. It's just like some recognition.
Just give the 10 points to Webby because he's going to go home early again. And, you know... He'll need something as he walks out of the door with the market still trading and everyone working hard.
10 points to Gryffindor, right. Okay, so we've got a pennant. What does that mean then? Where's it? It's gone up. Now what's it do?
Don't know.
Okay. So
no, I mean, in terms of you take the Chicago market, there was quite a long-term line of resistance. It has been. It's gone. It's four sessions.
Target price for November wheat in this rally. It's 205.
Well, there's a gap, which someone's commented on. There's a gap at 208.
Has it been up to 208 in this little...
No, 206.
So if it hits the gap, it'll come down again.
There's also some highs on Chicago. I think, from memory, it's about 30 cents higher than where it is. It's good. So what does that mean? Probably, let's say, 8 to 10 quid, something like that.
I mean, it's not just UK wheat that's broken the downtrend. All other commodities have done exactly the same thing, have they?
Yeah, I'd say other ones, probably because... They've got more spec money in them, have done more aggressive moves. Yeah. And I think actually, interestingly, although I haven't done the maths, this is really lazy, but I reckon we've probably not so much of a premium against Matif as what we were.
They've certainly had a slightly bigger, but we are still a premium. It was about 5 quid before.
So I guess I'd say we'd be one or two now.
Okay, so we're still a premium and still the best place for people to export wheat to, if they're doing it within Europe, I assume. So with that in mind... The charts are pointing upwards or trying to find a place to be happy. Yeah. The conditions out internationally, you jumped into charts. Is there anything happening bad in the States particularly? It's a bit wet, isn't it? Some areas going to
I think
flooding.
There's some wet weather. People talked about some cold weather.
And some corn being
South
delayed.
South America's still a story. Delayed corn plantings. Still big fund shorts.
Yeah. And so
that's the critical thing, isn't it? The fund shorts.
The critical thing is, I think, the dynamic of the Russian crop is... on people's minds. It is getting smaller, which affects Ukraine also. Ukraine has got manpower problems. I wonder why that is. A number of things internationally, predominantly that's the biggest thing. In the UK, parochially, I know that Oliver is sending you pictures of diseased fields, isn't he? Because he says you get excited by diseased crops.
We did, yeah. I think some of them are spoof photos, actually, possibly.
There is BYDV... in abundance. Aphids were very prolific in the autumn and people couldn't spray. And that virus is spread by aphids. And clearly there is... BYDV doesn't just affect barley, it affects wheat as well. And there is definitely some hindrance of yield on some of those wheat crops.
Mm. I think it's quite a bit of Septoria creeping in, which people have commented about.
And also, there's been a fundamental lack of sun.
In the garden of England, aren't we? Here we sit with this fabulous-looking wheat crop predominantly. A bit of disease in there, but largely... We had a very prominent local farmer in yesterday. T1s are on. The wheat looks good. Potentially, it's a really good yield of wheat, was his phrase. All right, up here, the land is kinder. We've got better drainage. We've got on. It's been cold, but it's been above 5 degrees soil temperature. The stuff's gone in, gone up, taken the nitrogen in. It's had sufficient rain, not too much in recent times. I would say the crop, the optimum potential of the crop is still there. And the foreseeable future has a bit of warmth and still some rain. So we're going to go into May in pretty perfect conditions, which parochially has no relevance whatsoever, does it? It's kind of sentiment-wise, does it make you sell it in this corner? Probably a few.
I think we've got to be careful in terms of conversation with farmers, because these are now good values. You know, if someone's making 200 X farm in the forwards in May, it's a good price. We can't forget that. It's a good price.
Spotted 150 odd recently. Then
having an opening gambit of 20-25%, something I think would be a shrewd move, personally.
We haven't seen that many people, and there have been some very aggressive prices out there, so maybe we've just missed it, or maybe they're just kind of in this, it's going to be 200 definitely, because it's going to be a much smaller crop. But we've already covered that by saying imports and carryover and corn switching has solved the problem. This is about the world taking us up, and if the world gets a good bit of weather, then down we go.
I was going to say, we need to be brutally aware that if there's a good soaking of rain, a couple of inches, bang, it's got a quicker downside.
Yeah, in Russia, you're talking about. Yeah. So farmers out there, age-old thing, we're merchants, we're trying to tell you to sell it when you shouldn't be and it should be going up. Certainly, the immediate short term, the market's been very bullish. It seems everyone's in the same mood and up she goes. But let's all pretend we've got a bank manager in our left ear going, you've got a bank loan, mate, you need to cover some of the costs. Your yield might look optimum at £200 a tonne. That's a significant profit, just maybe 25-40% at a price above 200 is a really grown-up thing to do, or the right thing to do. Mm. But, we've all missed markets or sold too early before, so that's not our decision. It certainly makes me feel more comfortable to get a good sale price in for a bit.
And it does make a hell of a difference having conversations when they start with a 2 compared to having the doldrums of, wasn't that long ago we saw it, 140s, 150s. Yeah.
So what else? We've got our future stores are not really shifting. We've got one of them that's being picked at the moment, but the rest of them are being left.
Yeah, bits and pieces, but kind of feels like most of it's going to be tail end drag out now, I think. Possibly.
Well, which leads on to this dynamic of July being everybody trying to move everything at the same time. I am concerned about that. I think looking at the people who own the futures, not totally convinced they've got a really, bomb-proof plan to get it all shifted. Yeah. And there'll be an assumption that the stores can cope. So as a storekeeper observation, not as a fresh tenderer, as a storekeeper observation, a store is moving quite quickly. Another one, there isn't another one that's moving quickly at all. So at some point, in theory, it should be going on the basis of how the market's been, but it's not. What else is there? I mean, feed barley seems to have just about run out, doesn't it? Funnily enough.
Yeah, feed barley's had a bit of a run. Didn't really see that coming at all. I wonder after these, there's a few vessels up there done. I wonder whether there will be any much demand, because I'm certainly not seeing it from
harvest.
Consumer.
Harvest is around the corner. It's May next week or week after. It won't be long. So let's get rid of the stuff and start again. Yeah. What about oilseed rape? We've got Ben in the room.
Yeah, I mean, that's just on the old crop. That's just still teetering around the 350, 354 mark. Had a good rally sort of last week. Then it's dropped back. The crush will probably close end of June, I would think, but that's not been confirmed. So we are running out of marketing opportunity. But, as we know, going into the new crop, it's going to be a small harvest.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that the crop over here looks really well.
It does look good. But you speak to other people and the only thing that Webby noticed, he might have a point, is that it does seem to be podding a little bit early, which that is a danger.
Is it? What's the danger? Frost?
Well, it just pods too early, then it gets ready, and then you have some adverse weather, and it all shells out.
Certainly, driving out today, it's just beyond optimum flowering, just beginning to...
Your top flowers are sort of dropping, and it's podding out the top. But also, I never know the science, and there's probably so much muck and mystery. But I always thought the rapeseed needs lovely sun at the time of flowering, and it hasn't had it. Whether that's people have said that, can bring around lower oils, whether you don't get, number of seeding pods, I don't know.
It has been quite bright. It's just been freezing cold northerly winds. Mm. So there has been sun, but there hasn't been that much insect activity, you're right.
Yeah, but there's not been as much sun as last year, Andrew. Definitely not.
No, I accept that.
I think in terms of sunny days, we haven't had that many.
No, is this sunny today?
No, it's dull, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not, no, it's kind of like, there's the odd, yeah, okay. It's not perfect sunshine, but it's still quite bright. I mean, in the...
Yeah, okay, don't stare at the sun, Andrew, that's bad for you.
Except unless you're Donald Trump. You just squint your eyes and then... So, which moves on to malting barley premiums are going up. because the crop has had troubles in East Anglia. Again, we look good, but yeah, I'm not. There's clearly people in other parts of the country who are drilling this week.
Yeah,
very late April doesn't bode well, does it?
Especially given what we just said, cold conditions, late drilled cold conditions.
I think soil temperature, I think it'll go in, come up, and by the time next week comes around, it'll be 18 degrees and off it goes. It'll be a little bit late and it just won't yield as much.
I think for us, we'll be in a really good place.
Yeah, but if they're planting in the West Country, in the south of England now, they've got less daylight than in Scotland. Scotland will do better with it because of the, you know, the midsummer thing. Yeah. And they clearly will have a ton a hectare less and higher nitrogens. So it means everybody knows that there's trouble. It's trouble in France, trouble in Scandinavia. Yeah. It is as bad as last year at this moment. Now, it can improve and it won't be a disaster in Denmark like last year where the rain just ruined the crop. Yeah. But there is less of it and it's not going to be optimum. You know, so the maltsters lives on a perilous supply.
But we can also see from on the other side that probably the demand for the brewing industry or brewing sector is probably struggling.
Yeah, well, no one's drinking beer and there's no football tournaments yet.
And so the inflation of a, you know, cost of a pint is a lot.
Absolutely. So what other scandal is there out there? Anything in the grain trade worth talking about? Anything on the farms? Any stuff?
Don't know. Can't think.
No? Pretty dull old stuff, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're simply functioning along. The season is, I think everyone's fed up with it completely. I can't think of many people who are having an absolute whale of a time.
I did say this to someone yesterday. It seems really strange. I know we're third week of April, but it feels like we're trading second week of July. It feels really odd to me. It's strange.
I just wish all the stores were empty and it was all gone. We're counting up the pennies and seeing how many we've got. And it's like, yeah, I'm fed up with it. I'm just fed up with the year. It's just and the quality of it, it's okay. But it's not.
It's been gritty all the way through, hasn't it? It was a pretty awful harvest, not a lot of fun. And then, yeah, it's had its own.
And there's still a fair bit of quality grain to move with certain companies. And it's like, oh, come on, get on with it. And you're just waiting for them to go, oh, no, that's not quite right spec. Let's find that out in May or June, shall we? That's a real treat. You know it's coming, almost. So there's some grind and misery to come. So there, with that cheerful note, what else can we need to sign off on something positive? The boys done anything
just
this week?
Just trying to think of a joke.
The two lads, they done something new and exciting? Harry and Tom? No.
Oh, no, I tell you what we have got.
Ooh.
Oh.
We've got something amazing. Groundbreaking news. One of our colleagues is a relation or a descendant of Pocahontas.
Absolutely.
That was amazing.
Well, I thought everybody knew that.
When he sat there quietly, I don't know, I've forgotten why he even said it, but he just went, oh yeah, I'm a descendant of Pocahontas. Like, what the hell?
That is true, for on his mother's side. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he says to you, pale face, beak, fork, tongue.
That's why I call him Chief Sitting Bull now.
We're talking about Harry, just in case no one knows.
Harry Randall is amazing. I mean, I have said to him that he needs to get back to North America and reclaim his land.
Manhattan Island.
Which could be very amusing if he files a claim there. He probably will, knowing Harry.
Yeah, okay. Let's finish on the fact that we have a famous relative, descendant of a famous person, in our midst. There you go.
We'll have to post a picture just to show the like family resemblance.
Oh, well, they don't look at me because I'm not going to post anything. Yeah, you, by all means, sort that out on this week's social stuff. Anyway, with that, thanks, guys. I shall do my market report in the morning. And yeah, onto tomorrow's retenders, eh?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you subscribe to get updates on new episodes and follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. We are at Dewing Grain. Alternatively, you can call us on 01263 731 550 or email info@dewinggrain.co.uk.